Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings, Monday style. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Of course, y'all, on the phones at 343-0106. Want to hear from you. Also, earlier in the show, we had a question about the Flickr page. The Flickr page for Bill Finch's Plant Gardening for the Gulf Coast and how to find it. You help people navigate to that that photo gallery?
Yeah, so during Bill Finch's show, every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m., he's always talking gardening, plants, you know, vegetable gardens, fruit, and people upload their images to our text line. And we put all of those images on an easy-to-navigate Flickr photo album. You can flick through. And the easiest way to get that is go to fmtalk1065.com, and you'll find the schedule at the bottom of the page. Click on Sunday and click on Bill Finch's page, and right there you'll see the Flickr photo album. If you give it maybe 5-10 seconds to load the entire album, then you can click through right there. But if you can't wait that long, I understand. Click on the image. It'll take you directly to the Flickr page, and you can go through the images there.
All right, and of course, you check that out. And speaking of pictures, too, at least one of the pictures I posted up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 was not a gardened, but a wild azalea.
Yeah.
I saw this, some beautiful wild azaleas blooming in the woods this weekend. Put that up with a few pictures over on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Also, that was like the good, that was the angel on the shoulder. And then the devil on my shoulder had me post a musical accompaniment to Mama June's Crack Rock Arrest.
Now, I was
somewhere
not,
in Alabama.
I was not aware of that song until you played it today.
The sad thing is I am, and that was from the recesses of my brain. All of a sudden I said, there's a Crack Rock song, isn't there? Yeah, let me find it. And there it was.
And, you know, people want to see behind the scenes here at FM Talk 106.5 in the morning show. And what you would see this morning is our crack, I guess pun intended there, our crack investigative team, being Sean and myself, trying to figure out exactly where Mama June was arrested. Because all of the headlines, TMZ, and of course, in today's day and age, one person breaks
other
the story, and everyone else, it just trickles down to them. So all the local news stations post the story from TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
But no one knows where in Alabama Mama June was arrested. I'm trying to figure it out because she lives
nowhere,
in Georgia, I guess. So maybe on the Alabama-Georgia line.
That's what we're thinking.
There's rumors and video of her at a Wetumpka casino following her arrest. So if anyone has any information, well, actually, we don't need to know it anymore.
No, but I would just say this. With that little part of it, I would just reserve a little bit of faith in the story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know to completely discount the story now, but just be mindful of some facts that would normally be involved with any kind of arrest story. They're not available. And in today's, I would just hold on a second.
Okay.
You know, just hold on a second. How about that? we'll get into some talk about what to believe and not to believe out there. And also what they're calling the Gaftastic Weekend for different presidential hopefuls. And they're saying, well, you know, former Vice President Joe Biden made a gaffe. He always makes a gaffe. But I want to, okay, so this is a fair discussion, too. On the very crowded Democrat side, if you start looking at the bookends for this,
mm-hmm.
not Booker, not Cory Booker, but the bookends, from the farthest left to the closest to moderate,
right
out there. Even though Joe Biden, you could tell he thinks he's going to get painted that way because he said, I've been the most progressive ever. Here's the thing. You've got a Biden just by age, just by kind of some of his tenor of the past. Biden will come into this as the more moderate, even though, and you could tell he doth protest too much over the weekend, say, oh, it's more progressive than so-and-so, you know. During the primary, Democrats, just like Republicans during the primary, want to seem farther right than the other people. Democrats during the primary, now we're going to see further left, which that new further left is so far left, it's indistinguishable from the Democrat Party of 20 years ago, I think. Well, not indistinguishable, but it is way left.
Mm-hmm.
And
they wouldn't have had a shot 20 years ago.
No.
And now they're actually, their odds look decent.
Well, this will be the first time, actually, too, in the 2020 primary, that we can really check, is that representative of the bulk of Democrats? Right? I mean, you people say, well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are always, and I understand it. She's the new shiny, glittery thing that says, person who says ridiculous things. Okay? I get that. We're going to cover her. We're going to talk about her because she says things that are so outrageous to most of us. But she only represents one area of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea that she's representative of Democrats from all over the country, that will have to be, even though she's not running in a primary, she's not running for president, but that same vibe that she has, like Kamala Harris has, Cory Booker has to some degree, that will be tested during a primary. And we'll see who does well. I mean, yes, you can say, well, they're going to do great in California, and that's big electorally. I get that. Or they'll do great in New York. But there's a lot of other Democrats. I mean, you know, President Trump won. Then-candidate Donald Trump won by taking not California, not New York for the Republicans, but taking those Rust Belt states, those purple states that they'd been kind of leaning towards Democrat pretty consistently, and changing those and making those into Republican states.
See, and Beto is the new hot name, of course.
Skateboarder guy.
You were talking about Biden and his slip that he's running for 2020, and he's already gotten into it with President Trump, so we know that he won't be, this is what the Democrats are saying, they know that he won't be afraid to, you know, put the boxing gloves on and go at it with the president. But Beto, I would say, as far as all the other candidates, he and Biden probably the closest to center, because I mean, you're talking about Beto, a guy who ran for Senate in Texas, which is a fairly conservative state.
It's getting more purple than it is. I mean, you've had Democrat governors. It depends, but yes, okay.
But the
areas of Texas are super Republican, and there's also some highly concentrated areas of Democrats in Texas.
And the hit pieces on Beto coming out like one after the other over the weekend. Now they're reporting that he was part of a hacktivist group. When he was a teenager, he joined right when online message boards started to blow up and become bigger. He was part of all these. He was in a punk band. He was a skateboarder, like you mentioned, but he was also in this hacktivist group who would hack.
I don't know that makes any. To be frank, I'm not saying it shouldn't cause pause for anybody, but I don't think that makes a hill of beans difference in whether he gets votes in the primary or not. I really don't.
Well, there's a bigger story that Reuters actually knew about him being part of this group and agreed to not mention it until after his Senate run in Texas.
Now, there's the story.
So Reuters might have buried a story under the rug until Beto got done.
No.
But you think that Biden will do well? You think that the Democrats will want to get somebody who can pull those other states? See, I think they're going to go. I think that they think Hillary Clinton wasn't far enough left, and with the primaries being how they are now, I see a prime spot for Kamala Harris to jump in.
Let's run through some of these names here. Okay, let's run through. So Senator Cory Booker is in Indiana, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg or something like that.
I'm trying, Pete.
But he's an interesting guy. I mean, he's a millennial Afghanistan war veteran. And the first openly gay candidate for president, you know, because that's now, instead of just judging people on their merits, we have to put everybody into their groups. Julian Castro, former HUD secretary, Julian Castro, Representative John Delaney out of Maryland, Representative Tulsi Gabbard out of Hawaii, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand out of New York, Senator Kamala Harris, you're talking about, out of California, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. Now, he's one that people have talked about that may be more the moderate, like if I'm putting people in, you know, if people have to be put in little groups and split up, I have Hickenlooper kind of in the same group of Biden, but Biden's got name recognition way out the wazoo compared to Hickenlooper. And with a name like Hickenlooper, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Representative, like you just said, Beto O'Rourke, of course, Bernie, Senator Bernie Sanders out of Vermont, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who I think is in Alabama today. Is it today? I think it is today, or it's this week. I keep getting the emails, and they kept, do you want press credentials? Bill Weld, this is what is so fantastic. This is proving my point. So I may or may not be somebody who leans towards voting libertarian most of the time, not R or D, but L. And when they put together the last run here, which I thought was the best opportunity for libertarians a long time, not to win, but to get some traction here, the vice president nominee was Bill Weld, who's the former governor of Massachusetts. And I said, y'all just lost it, because Bill Weld had supported a lot of things in the past that were about as far from libertarian policy as possible. I said, y'all, it's just a joke. It's a joke to have him as, well, guess what? Bill Weld is running for Democrat. You know, so
I remember when the libertarians and who was his main running mate? I completely forgot who was the main libertarian that was running on that ticket. But when they were doing an interview And they were asked who they would vote for if they didn't have a shot at winning. And Bill Weld said, oh, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. I'm like, you don't say that when you're on the campaign trail, that you're going to vote for one of the other candidates.
Right. Well, I mean, so you had, what, you're talking about Gary Johnson.
Gary
right?
Johnson, yeah, there you go.
Who's been on the show in the past. He's a perennial, also runs, you know, kind of all the time. But when they paired him with Bill Weld, and Gary Johnson has a lot of issues too. But when they had Bill Weld with him, I said, you know, y'all have just shot this thing in the foot. Your best chance to have a little bit of traction. Once again, I didn't think the Libertarians were going to win, but it's a snowball effect. Maybe they could have picked up, you know, some more percentages, and people would have said, who are these people? I ought to check them out. But they put Weld as part of it, and it was just a joke. All right, so we're running through, just joining us, running through the list of Democrats that have declared they're running. Marianne Williamson, who's, what'd they say? Here we go. Here's her. She ran for House as an independent, didn't win, but she's described as a spiritual guru and friend of Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, please.
So there you go. That's the qualification.
Get her on the debate stage.
Andrew Yang, who is a pretty smart dude, but Andrew Yang, entrepreneur, made his name with Venture for America. He's also declared he's going to run. Now, there's a bunch of people that might run, and we're not going to get into those yet, except for maybe talking about former Vice President Joe Biden. What if John Kasich? What if John Kasich ran on the Democrat side?
That would be interesting.
That would prove a lot of points. We don't know that he will. There'll be a handful of Republicans running in the primary, you know, some smaller names running against President Trump. But the big story, of course, is a crowded field on the Democrat side. All right, coming back, we'll talk more about that. Also, a violent and deadly weekend in Mobile. The stats here from this weekend were unbelievable in the number of shootings, people that were shot and people that were killed. And we'll get into discussion of what's going on here. I mean, you've got a Mayor Sandy Simpson said, you know, we're going to be the safest city in America. And it seems like we're trending the other way. It seems like, because it's not always backed up with stats. But in the very short view, it's a violent weekend. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Morning, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. So pretty darn close to the official start of spring, and so if you're waiting around to set that appointment for real spring cleaning, that's fine. You can go ahead and set it ahead of time to have Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK come by and get the junk. And let me tell you, a deadline is a efficient device to get people motivated. And I'll just give you, this is a Sullivan life hack, so I don't know if this is worth noting or not, but it like, let's say you wanted to get the family motivated to get cleaned up and get the junk gone, you could set the appointment time with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, set it out, you know, a week or so, and then back time it to the family and say, okay, we're getting ready. You have got to have this because they are coming on Monday, or they are coming on Thursday, or they're coming on Friday. And then you could say, instead of just saying, well, they'll get around to it, now you have a deadline set. Mm-hmm. Identify the junk, pile the junk up, and get the junk gone. And listen, it could be at your house, could be at your office, storage unit, even stuff outside the house. Like I've mentioned before, even like a swing set. If you want to get rid of something big like that, they can handle it. Get with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, so Auburn makes its way in yesterday, winning out to SEC tournament, and you said they will be playing, program note, we'll start our coverage Thursday at noon.
Yeah, so they've got New Mexico State first up. They'll be playing in Salt Lake City in the Midwest region of the bracket. Auburn picks up a number 5 seed after winning the SEC tournament. And New Mexico State, they're no slouch. They actually haven't lost a game since January 3rd.
Uh-oh.
But they are in one of those non-Power 5 conferences. They won the conference tournament yesterday, so them and Auburn will have the same amount of break in between games. But Auburn riding an 8-game winning streak now, looking to keep it going into the NCAA tournament. And if they win that game, they'll play on Saturday, and it looks like they'll either play Kansas, who was actually a top title contender at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. They've fallen way off, missing a couple players. They'll probably play Kansas, but Northeastern could upset Kansas, and that's who Auburn would be looking at on Saturday.
If they win on Thursday. All right, so our coverage starts at noon on Thursday. And then you asked me a question during one of the news breaks. You said, how much do you think Americans are going to bet on March Madness? Mm-hmm. And I was, what, I said 700 million, 800 million, something like that. And I was off by a little bit.
Just a little bit. Looks like, and this is according to the American Gaming Association, okay. So keep that into account. But
sure.
They say that Americans plan to wager $8.5 billion on this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. They said 1 in 5 adults will place a bet. Now, that does take into account people that are putting money on brackets. So
okay.
Maybe you have
so
office
that's not,
brackets.
Because we've in the past, we've heard gambling stats. We said, well, that's legal gambling and there's the other. But they are taking into account the office pool kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they're taking into account all the offshore sports books, the illegal sports books, but they say $4.6 billion will be wagered on a collective 149 million brackets by more than 40 million people. Because, of course, the bracket pool is the biggest thing in March,
right.
In March Madness. Then they say nearly 18 million people will wager $3.9 billion at a sports book, online, with a bookie, or with a friend. 4.1 million will place a bet at a casino sports book or using a legal app, and 2.4 million will bet illegally with a bookie, and 5.2 million will bet online, likely at illegal offshore sites.
When will it be? I mean, here you've got Mississippi making their move for sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
You had the change in the federal law to make it where states could decide if they're going to do that. When, you know, as we talk about whether it's marijuana sales or this or that, when will vices, like, when will they just, it'll be a normal thing that sports betting goes on? I mean, this idea that it changes outcomes, I would rather, like, everything to be in the open air with sunshine in the marketplace. If you're saying gambling changes outcome with college students and this and that, then with all the illegal betting that's going on now, why wouldn't it be changing outcomes today?
Yeah, well, you know, you think back to Tim Donahue, the NBA referee.
Oh, yeah.
And there was actually a bigger expose on him because he went down for fixing games in the NBA, but Sports Illustrated, or maybe it was ESPN, had a long profile where it was actually a bigger deal than the government charged him with, because he did spend time in prison, but he was fixing more games and longer than they ever thought he was, and that could still be going on. One of the arguments is that if gambling becomes legalized, sports gambling, that it'll be easier for them to see major shifts in the market, and it's like watching stocks,
mm-hmm.
and how they're able to see whether illegal stock trading is going on. It'll be, I guess, easier, according
that's
to
what
people
saying.
That want to legalize.
If there's all this money that's being bet right now illegally, then therefore that money has an influence,
mm-hmm.
you know, on it tempts people to not play by the rules. So if that's happening anyway, are we better off with legalized across the board everywhere, open, you know, sunshine, open doors, sports gambling, so you can watch those trends?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think that your question was how long will it be before it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, normal in America. Pretty much every single sports network now has a gambling show, either in a primetime slot or on one of their streaming pages. ESPN just had a new gambling show that airs at 5 p.m. on ESPN2 every single day. Has, it looks like MSNBC or Fox Business, with the stock tickers rolling along and giving out their plays. So that's happening on every single network. I think there's, what, 5 or 6 states where it's legal now.
Right.
I think there's 9 states that are in the process of passing a bill that are very close to having gambling, sports gambling, legalized. And then there's an outrageous number of states that have bills filed but are either unlikely or making their way through the legislature in each state. Alabama, one of the very few states that have nothing going on as
right.
far as sports gambling. But now the big conversation in the states that do have it legalized is whether mobile sports gambling on your phone should be allowed.
Okay, so that's the one that I think is going to be the one that changes the whole world. What Dalton's talking about is on the phone, you could be you could bet, like, if the next pitch is going to be a strike or not. I mean, it's like second by second gambling. Not even for the, not like before the game starts, they wager the money. It's like stuff going on in game.
As it happens, yeah, it's in game wagering. And if you watch, like, say, Alabama and Clemson when they were playing for the national championship, and Alabama was favored going into that game. Well, when Clemson goes up early, then all of a sudden you can, if you still want to take Alabama, you might be able to get them as an underdog. And if they turn things around, you'd have a better price on Alabama than you'd have at the beginning.
That will be the crack cocaine of the gambling world.
It will be. That's what they're expecting, for live in game wagering to be the thing from here on out.
I talk about this more. I'm still trying to figure out how you do the offshore gambling, how you get your money without getting in trouble.
A lot of times, they don't even pay out.
Well, that's not good. All right, 8:30, coming right back. 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106. You may want to drop that in the contacts. Might need it this morning. May need it on a day to come. So just FM Talk 106.5, phone number 251. For those of y'all that are new to town, 251-343-0106. I want to get back a couple things here, but I want to note, Terry said, hey, don't call Robert O'Rourke Beto, because he's, you know, he's taken this. It would be a little bit like Jerry Rivers.
Yeah.
You know Jerry Rivers?
You
goes by another name?
Geraldo?
That would be right. Geraldo Rivera, Jerry Rivers. Yeah, I've duly noted. I'm aware of it, but if the guy's calling himself that, I'm not going to stop every time and make a note of the name change. What about that? We could do... That would be fun. Here's a little mental exercise. If it's all about identity politics anymore, right? Especially on the Democrat side, about identity politics, create the name that would have hit the most, you know, how politicians try to be whoever they are, right? Mm-hmm. They're chameleons. It's one of the things I said about former President Obama. He was so good at that. You know, wherever he was, he kind of tailored himself to that. What name? You have three names and a nick. Okay, here are the rules as I'm making it up. You got three names. You got a first, middle, last name, and then you have a nickname.
And a nickname.
Okay, so you have four possible names to punch the most buttons for identity politics.
Right.
So create that name. Hit us up on the text line at 343-0106. So first, middle, last, and nickname. What is the ultimate identity politics name?
And you know, it worked well. I could say it actually didn't work for Beto in his Texas Senate race, but if you're looking at all the headlines, he was the immigrant in that race, even though he is way less of his family.
Yes,
you know, compared to Ted Cruz,
right,
who comes from a Cuban family.
Yes,
Beto O'Rourke, they were painting him as this, you know, comes from an immigrant family and stuff, but he was actually racing against a man whose family came from Cuba. But it worked for him in that case. Beto O'Rourke, people see the name
right,
and
smart
just assume.
Politics. And I would suggest maybe you want to use in this, you would want to use one of those androgynous names too, a Chris or a Pat.
Pat, yes.
You know,
I was going to go with Pat from SNL.
Pat's for... Pat. That's, I can't... Good for you. You were aware enough to know the Pat series SNL in the old days. You just cracked me up. You couldn't do that now. By the way, think about it. You couldn't do the Pat bit.
No way you could do that. They would get in so much trouble for that now.
Remember how Chris came into play? Because on that one episode of SNL with Pat, they said, and Pat was going to reveal that they had a love, Pat had a love interest, and so they're all waiting for the name to try to figure out, and it said, who is it? Chris. They're like, oh. So you use that, build out, so you get the first, middle, and last name, plus the nickname. Create the ultimate identity politic name,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that like punches his most the most number of buttons, circles, fills in the most number of circles by being just one name. So you get first, middle, last, and nickname. So then we'll read through those in just a little bit. We are also talking about, you looked at a map during the break here of sports betting.
Yeah, because sports gambling, it's at the top of everyone's mind before two events, usually Super Bowl, mm-hmm. which we talked about it then. And then with the March Madness tournament being laid out yesterday, they made the reveal of the 68 teams that will play in the NCAA tournament. And it looks like they say, according to the American Gaming Association, $8.5 billion will be bet on March Madness games. Now, I was looking for the handle from the states that have already legalized mm-hmm. sports gambling. And I remember seeing the tweet, and Mississippi and every other state that's already legalized it had just outrageous numbers of money that they won in January, money that's going towards taxes in mm-hmm. those states. Now, there are, I think, 9 states that have no sports betting bills at all set for 2019. You have Alabama, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, California, and Alaska. You've got currently Mississippi, New Mexico, Nevada, of course, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and maybe Vermont, New Jersey, in Delaware, that have legalized sports gambling already. But then there are 22 states that have active sports betting bills as they go into their sessions this spring. And of those, Tennessee and Georgia are a couple of those states that have active sports betting bills. Then there are three states that have dead sports betting bills that didn't make it through legislation: Kentucky, South Dakota, and Hawaii. And then there are five states that have reports of upcoming bills, and Florida is one of those. So it looks a lot like the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
The state lottery, where Alabama is the gray state, the surrounded by Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida, where sports betting could be coming pretty soon.
So then we'll go to the next discussion. I will say this: Alabama will legalize sports betting before it legalizes marijuana.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I think that's a fair bet.
I think, and you know, Danny Sheridan, he said he had the numbers for how much Alabamians mm-hmm. wager, and I can't remember what that was, but it was some outrageous number. And it makes sense with Alabama and Auburn football teams being as good as they are, and with Alabama being such a sports-crazed state, that a lot of Alabamians would take part in that kind of thing.
How about y'all? What do you think? Is it time for, but you know, once again, what will be discussed as of tomorrow when they return to regular session in Montgomery will be the lottery, which is the wine spritzer, as I say, of the gambling world. And they'll debate that, gnash teeth, you know, and that's fine. I want the referendum to come up. I want people to have a vote on whether they want the lottery in the state or not. But to think that the lottery is going to be a panacea in the state, it's going to fix everything, come on. You know, the revenue projections, I think, are pretty liberal. I don't think they'll, because you still have, right now, you have other states that are siphoning people from Alabama into those states. We would have to have something really big going on for somebody from another state, unless they're traveling through or something, to come across the line and go buy, like people from Florida flying into Alabama to buy a lottery ticket, or you know, Georgia or Mississippi or Tennessee. So we'll see what they come up with. But yeah, sports betting, that would... As soon as you do it, though, you would hear pushback from college football fans, says it's going to change the game. Well, they're betting right now on college sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening right now. So it's probably already changing the game if there are people out there that are going to be tempted by doing things that are illegal.
Well, the discussion is so much like the lottery discussion. And it's you've got one side that says, well, it's already happening. And like you've said many times, we're getting the societal ills mm-hmm. from the illegal gambling, yep. but we're not getting the benefits of the tax dollars coming back into state. And it would be the same exact thing with sports betting. But I wonder if a lot of people that probably don't play the lottery because they know that it's strictly chance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any say in whether you win a lottery or not. You just scratch off the ticket or you wait until the numbers are called and you're either a winner or you're not a winner. A lot of people feel like they have actually like it's picking a stock in sports mm-hmm. gambling. And even though the casino usually wins, I mean, they beat 99% of the people that right. gamble on the games, but people at least feel like they have some say in whether they win that or not.
Yeah.
I wonder if it won't have more support in Alabama than the lottery bill.
Well, that's been the argument, right? That sports betting is different because it's a game of skill, not a game of chance, and others will argue it's a straight-up game of chance. So, I don't know, you start getting into the semantics on it, and I think you get lost in the weeds. All right, and when it go to the phones, and then also I want to talk about those stats from Mobile over the last couple days. Violent weekend, deadly weekend in Mobile. Let's go to James in beautiful Spanish Fort. Hey, James.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Good.
So the question about all this I have is that, you know, we're foolish to believe that people from Alabama aren't going to Florida or Tennessee or Mississippi or Georgia to either play the lottery or scratch-offs or get sports gambling of some sort. And we don't have this in Alabama, but yet we're having, because we have such a shortfall of money, we're having to impose a 10% gas tax. Now we're talking about we need to build this bridge on I-10, and then we don't have enough money to do that. To charge a toll when there's an obvious, you know, partial solution. It's these, you know, to have this, you know, sports gambling or lottery in Alabama and tax that and have that revenue in place. Why isn't somebody like Bradley Burns, who maybe is, bringing this up as a possible solution?
Yeah, I imagine that people are going to stay away from the sports betting side of it, just because you know what the conversation will be. It'll be a bunch of, well, you're going to, these are, you're ruining the college athletics and the, just playing for your team. You're dirtying up this whole, you know, college amateur athlete world with all this betting. But, you know,
but
we're arguing.
Happening.
That's right. I'm with you. I mean, that's what we're saying. I mean, that's I think the open eyed people are going to say, hey, this is, y'all hadn't stopped gambling. It's going on throughout the land. So, you know, should we go ahead and codify this and get revenue from it? A lot of people will tell us, James, that no, heck no. But I think a lot of people say, hey, it's time is here.
Yeah, we're not living the 20s anymore, the 40s or the 50s. So we need to progress as a society, especially in Alabama.
There you go, James. Appreciate the call. Let me grab, when we go back to the phones, but this this text here. All right, the first one in. I like this one. I see where they're going with this. This would be a Republican name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. The texter didn't tell me that, but hopefully I'm a student enough of things that I'm close. Remember, because I've said, hey, why don't we come up with the name that punches the most identity politics number? Because we got the discussion of just joining us. Correction, I was talking about Beto O'Rourke, and somebody said, we quit using Beto because it's, you know, Robert O'Rourke, and... So, you know, but the Beto move is genius because you've got the Irish, you've got the Hispanic, this idea of making, like, Jerry Rivers became Geraldo Rivera out there. So, but this person's angling this towards, I guess, the GOP side. Lindsey Pat Graham, nickname Hoss.
Oh, that's great. Hoss.
Hoss. So what do you think?
I'm looking pretty strong.
So the game is... The game is, once again, you get four different names you can use. The first, middle, and last name, and a nickname. Mm-hmm. That's your kicker. To be able to circle in the most number of squares there, circles, to make it the most identity politic rich name possible.
I'm going to try to come up with one during the break.
Y'all work on it. Hit us up on the text line, 343-0106. Plus, we'll come right back to the phones. First recorded back in 69, still is fresh here in 2019. Let's go with that for a second. Yeah, that's one of those moments that Dalton knows, like off-air discussion. I've had this certain rock songs that have been recorded. I've always wondered what it would have been like to be in the studio when they got the perfect cut, and they got it, and it was just the people looking around the studio going, "Holy cow, what's happening right here?" How many times did they realize they had an incredible hit on their hands?
We've got something here, man. You have to feel like you're on top of the world when one of those comes out, or anything Hendrix put together in the studio, or man, just
that moment where you go. That just happened.
Yeah.
We were rolling, right? We got that. Yeah, that kind of pretty awesome moment. All right. It's Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, the text line where we ask you as the sidebar today to create the ultimate identity politics name. I imagine we would be the first radio station in the nation. You'll probably hear this catch on elsewhere, but this was only after somebody was chastising me on the text line for saying Beto O'Rourke and not Robert O'Rourke, and I got into thinking, you know, what would be the perfect... I mean, if the Beto angle is done for the same reason that Jerry Rivers changed his name to Geraldo Rivera, then it's all about the identity politics, right? So how many in four names? And the reason we say four names, you got a first name, middle name, last name, and nickname.
Mm-hmm.
In four names, how many squares can you check off for identity politics? You put one together.
Yeah, I think I got a few identity politics checked off.
Okay.
Here. Okay, so we'll go with first name Muhammad McGregor Eastwood. So Muhammad McGregor Eastwood and nickname El Jefe. So there you've got the Islamic vote, you've got the Irish vote, you've got, of course, Eastwood being American, and El Jefe pulling in that Mexican vote.
There you go. This one, now Don says, Don, this is good, but that's his name, Donald John Trump, nickname Ace.
That's all American,
as far as I can hear. Pretty strong, pretty strong. But did that push the number of buttons? Let's see, I mean, because you could have, if you had somebody, let's walk this through, Don. If you could hit in the first and middle name, you could hit other different identity groups and still have the last name Trump to bring in the Trump. You could be You could have one of the possible, like, for the general election. It may not help you as much in the a Democrat primary, but in the general election, that thing is, would be stronger than New Rope right there.
It's already Donald John, right? So just switch Don Juan. Don Juan Trump.
Don Juan Trump, nickname El Ace.
El Ace.
There you go. Let's go to Chris in Mobile. He's up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean. Good morning, y'all. I got a couple things. Why is it with the gas tax, how come that the state docks, Vulcan, Austal, all your big companies on that riverfront down there don't have the money to allocate for to keep the Mobile ship channel dredged? They're already wanting to spend the tax dollars on something that should already be funded through those businesses that they're bringing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars through that port down there. And another thing, how is it in 2019 that we are still talking about gambling in the state of Alabama or the lottery or whatever it is? And another thing, marijuana.
Yeah.
How is it that we have not even thought, if Alabamians did not catch on to this, all this, where are we going to be left in the dirt? Left in the dirt, and they're going to keep taking taxes out on us as the citizens of Mobile and Alabama and surrounding counties. Thank you. I'll sit back and listen.
Did want answers. I didn't know if you wanted answers. Just, first of all, we might be left in the water. Hydroponic,
Water on
the barrel. Believe me, we will
left in the bong water.
If we're not the last state, we will be the second to last state to legalize recreational marijuana. That's for sure. Okay, so the first question on the tax. Let me run through something real fast, just facts, and you can still make your opinions either way. But to know that, number one, we're talking about not just current maintenance. We're talking about the expansion and deepening of the Mobile Ship Channel. To let the ships that are coming in have more freight on them. They draw 5 more feet of water to be fully laden. That's what they're doing. And the expansion, so that goes from, of course, where the Farewell Buoy is and where the ships anchor up offshore to the whole way up into the river. The turnaround basin has to be widened as well for those big ships to be turned around. Big ships, even like the Carnival cruise liners, like you get the bigger cruise liners need to be turned around. So, and the reason I've been told, Chris, that they're not charging, it's not a freight, pun intended, on the players along the Mobile Riverfront, is that those prices will be passed on through those companies. Right now, we're trying to increase business at the port because we're going to be cost less than other ports. So if they raise the price of things coming in and out of Mobile, then we're less competitive. Now, you don't have to agree with that. That's just when I've asked that question like you did, Chris. That's what I've been told. The reason why it's not done through a tax on those players in there or the shipping companies coming in and out, a fuel surcharge or something like that, is that would ruin the competitive pricing for the Port of Mobile. Now, that's what I'm told. So, and what was the other one? I mean, gambling?
He was asking why we're still talking about lottery and sports gambling in 2019.
Because it's still not a thing. And people talk about it, and there's $8.5 billion being wagered on March Madness, and there's probably plenty of those dollars coming out of Alabama, but it's illegal.
Yeah, money heading to Costa Rica or Mississippi.
There you go. They're almost the same, except different. All right, I'll be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Y'all have a great one.